Good morning. Thank you for joining with us another Monday morning around the Word of God for our daily devotional. Thank you for taking the time, and we trust that what we consider this morning will be an encouragement to you throughout the remainder of this day. Over the past weeks, we have been looking at questions asked in Scripture by different people, and we come today to a question that's asked in Romans 8 by the Apostle Paul. Romans 8 is a wonderful chapter. The book of Romans is a great doctrinal book on the subject of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And when we come to chapter 8, it's like the sort of the summary of and the conclusions drawn from the doctrinal issues set forth in the previous part of the book. And when we come to verse 31 of chapter 8, the apostle asks this question: "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What a question. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer to that question is a great comfort to us. And as we would think about it this morning, I hope that it'll comfort your soul and encourage you in the days ahead. First thing I want to say is this: God has been for us since eternity. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, we have these words: "According as he," that is the God, "hath chosen us in him," that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, "before the foundation of the world." Before there was a sun in the sky, before there was a star in the heavens, God was for me. And dear child of God, he was for you. He knew us back then, and he chose us back then in his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not an afterthought of God, but we are an eternal choice of God, and God was for us even then. And some people have problems with the doctrines of the sovereignty of God and of election. Leaving those aside, the Scriptures declare in Ephesians 1 and 4 that in eternity God was for me, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God was for me then and for you then. But we saw the manifestation of that at Calvary. And we can see that at Calvary, God was for us. As we look there at verse 32 of Romans 8, it says this: "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was offered up in Calvary, he was offered up for me. He was offered up for you. To many who think of Calvary, they think of it as the great injustice. And as far as man was concerned, that's what it was. But it was much, much more than that. It was something that was foretold hundreds of years before. And when you turn to Isaiah chapter 53, you read these words: but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isn't that wonderful? The God-ordained plan for me and for you, when he thought about us in eternity, knowing us as what we would be, sinners in need of salvation, away back then, the Lamb was slain in the mind and in the plan of God. You see, he says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And in verse 10 of chapter 53, Isaiah, it says this: it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days in the pleasure of the Lord, shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Calvary, dear saint of God, was for you and for me. God was for us at Calvary. God forsook his son. Whenever his lovely son bore in his body on the tree the wrath of God for sin, my sin and your sin, and as the Son of God was punished there for sin, God was for us, laying it on his Son. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God was for us at Calvary. But God's for us today. You see, God is for us today. God called us. God called us by his grace. He called us from the world of sin. And he called us to repentance. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Church of Galatia, says this: but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. And you see, our salvation is by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God was for us when he slew his son, when he made his son an offering for sin. God was for us. And God was for us when he called us by his grace to salvation. But thank God he hasn't left us to make it home alone. But God is with us. God is for us today, because the lovely Son of God today makes intercession for us. Verse 34 of the chapter there, 8, says this: who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Today, God the Son is in the presence of the Father, and he's interceding for us. Whenever you go over to 1 John, and in chapter 2, and in verse 1, it says this: my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes the devil will come and will and will put all sorts of doubts and thoughts into our mind and disturbs our peace. Sometimes we're overcome by temptation and we fail and we sin. Displeases God, and the devil comes and tells us of it and tries to disturb our peace with God. But, dear child of God, remember this. We have one in the glory today who intercedes for us. We have one who is our advocate, who pleads our cause before God. Today God the Son is for us in the presence of his Father as our great intercessor. That brings comfort. That brings assurance. Just to grasp that truth alone, that God is for us today as our great intercessor. And if God be for us, the devil and all the demons of hell cannot do a thing. Oh, they can try to disturb. They can try to unsettle us. But remember, God is for us. And who can be against us? There's a lovely hymn that sometimes we sing in the assembly, and it's this: before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is written on his hands, my name is hidden in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And praise God today. The answer is this: no, not one. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for that great assurance that rests within us. If God is for us, no one can be against us. Not all the demons of the deep can disturb that truth. Our life is hid with Christ and God. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you that even before the world was formed, you loved us. Even before the world was formed, you had produced a way back to thyself from our life of sin. And we thank you that there at Calvary, our lovely Saviour bore our sins away. Father, we pray that today, as we go through it, you'll help us to live in the good of the truth that God is for us. And may others who know not the Saviour see Christ in us and be drawn savingly to him. Bless us, Lord, today, we pray. And be with us, because we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.